up.
Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here is your host, David Swope.
Good morning. It's Saturday morning. That means it's time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report. I'm your host, David Swope, and we'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. It's New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here on ESPN Radio 101.7, the team, which is the home of the Dallas Cowboys, by the way. Big game coming up on Sunday, RJ. We got Chiefs-Cowboys. I need to start out by knowing, did the Chiefs even got a chance in this game?
Shoot, it's in Kansas City, man. So Chiefs are actually the favorite in this game. So
what?
It is going to be a good, exciting game. Hopefully with everyone, we love seeing these like great quarterback matchups.
Right.
And recently it's always been an injury or something else that comes up. But seeing Prescott, who's having one of his best seasons, and Mahomes, they're both pretty much in almost every category are somewhat in the top five. So just to see this kind of matchup and kind of more historical, you know, kind of back in the day, we remember some of these great matchups. So yep. I'm really excited to see this game.
Well, speaking of great matchups,
I wouldn't say that, but okay.
We had you come over on Sunday night, so we had you there for the play-by-play, which very impressive between you and Dan, going back and forth with all the stuffs about who played in college and where they played, some real background. But with some old-time Raiders fans there going, well, this is how the Raiders always look. So what's going on? I mean, because they want to throw it as like, hey, you know, they're starting to say, hey, maybe the Chiefs are back. I don't know if it was as much the Raiders kind of falling apart a little bit with everything that's been going on there, or really the Chiefs are looking any better.
It's a mix of both. Chiefs are on the right step to kind of get back. They've got a few wins in a row. Now, other than that Raider game, not a lot of them has been done in dominant fashion. But as long as you're getting everything on the right track and getting victories, that's all that truly matters. But the Raider, it's kind of the thing. You want everything to build up, but it seems like it always happens, especially when you have like an interim coach. If you just look at that without every other thing that's been off-field extraction, pretty much the first week or two, they have the same game plan, the coordinator's on track, and they get some quality victories. But after that, it just seems like they don't have a whole offseason to kind of build their program, so it does fall apart eventually. So hopefully they can still get a few more quality wins and keep up the season, but just from what we've seen so far, having an interim coach does not lead to success.
All right. Well, now let's start talking some racing. I needed to get that out of my system, so I appreciate that. So let's go to the Unser Racing Museum event calendar. As a matter of fact, we were there on Thursday night, did a couch potato. We did it a little bit earlier because the museum closes at 4 o'clock. So you can go on Facebook and you can check it out. Great time. As a matter of fact, car number 10 in the gallery is actually the number 31, the winner of the 1994 Indy 500, because we were like right there. So to have Junior's car to participate in that is pretty good. But Albuquerque Dragway. Now, we had Robert on last week, and, you know, season's kind of over, but what a great time for a swap meet. Talk a little bit about the swap meet going on.
Yeah, they had their last race at Albuquerque Dragway, the last, anyway, like, go-round pretty much last week. So what they have this week, even our buddy Steve Haydu is going to be there.
Oh.
They have this amazing, it's the Dragway swap meet that they have going on. Now, it's actually going on as we speak. It's a full-day event, so it started at 8 a.m., and it's going on till 5 p.m., y'all. So there's no excuse for y'all not to go up there and kind of just see some what they have to offer. Simple as that.
Yeah.
You can find every little part and everything that could be neat or something where it's like, man, I've always been looking for this, or maybe for your buddy's car. There's so many different options that you can look for. But it's going to be up at Albuquerque Dragway. It's going to be a full-day event, so go out there and kind of see what you can find. Always the treasures out of the swap meet.
So we'll have Spencer jump on here. Hey, so Spence, I mean, you're around, you know, Stevie Cruz all the time. I mean, does he have a play set for, like, a swap meet?
You know what? I think he has something for every type of get-together that you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
I mean, that man is one of the most prepared people I know. I mean, it's crazy. Even on the show, brings all these notes, and
right.
he even does research about NASCAR, and I know he hates NASCAR. I don't tell nobody on the show about that one, but it's crazy. But the swap meet, what a cool idea.
Yeah.
I really wish there was something like that for the dirt track community around here, too, which I'm assuming the dirt track guys are welcome to participate, right? I'm not sure on that, but...
I would assume anything you could fit on a trailer and take out there.
But great idea. Love that everybody is able to get together and help each other out. A lot of the bigger teams are able to sell off their used items to the smaller teams, and that really helps grow the whole racing community. So great idea. Love that Albuquerque Dragway is implementing that.
Well, Sandia Speedway, their season is over. Winter Series is going to start in January on the road course. But we do have some racing going on. Let's go to Alien first, because, of course, they have the second annual Gobbler going on today.
Yeah, so what's going on? So that Alien event, they've been saving up pretty much for this amazing event they have going on, the second annual Gobbler, which is going to have the WTR Street Stocks versus the USRA Hobby Stocks, Legend Cars, Bombers, and Junior Cyclones. So there's going to be so much where it's actually competitive, like against different categories against each other. It's just going to be an amazing event that's going on. And what we have going is $1,000 to the win in the INEX Legends, or pretty much. So that's going to be a separate category, but that's just kind of like a big thing, kind of, hey, Legend cars are going to go out there, and they're just going to dominate over each other while they have these Versus series, which is the Street Stocks and the Hobby Stocks. Just looks like an amazing time at the second annual, and hopefully many more to come of the Gobbler.
Well, that's fantastic. And next weekend, of course, we got the Turkey Bowl. So tell us a little bit about the Turkey Bowl there, Spence.
Yeah, Turkey Bowl, not a points race for the New Mexico Motor Racing Association, but you'll see most all the drivers that participate in NMMRA this year go down to the biggest non-wing sprint car race, in my opinion, in the state. And that is coming up next weekend, of course, Friday and Saturday night down at Votto Speedway Park. Beautiful facility. We'd mention that every time we talk about Votto.
Right.
If you are able to get down there, last chance to see dirt track racing in New Mexico until, I believe, February or maybe January.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong on that. I believe World of Outlaws Late Model Series is coming down south.
Cool.
But very excited for this event. And it is non-wing sprint cars are the main show. Legend cars also going to be there, though. Legend cars, they have a nice little two-week swing here.
Yep.
I just talked to Joshua Jackson on Thursday night. He's going to head down to the Gobbler this weekend, turn right back around, and participate in the Turkey Bowl.
Cool.
In the Legend division, as well as Jason Irwin and Dustin Tilbury, two hot shoes from here in Albuquerque. They're going to head down there as well. So whether you like the little cars or the big non-wing sprint cars, it's a really good show, and I am really pumped up for this one.
That's fantastic. And of course, a little later in the show, we're going to talk some more about it. But we've got to get some car shows in. We'll come back to, let's do Moriarty MX first. I spent some time yesterday with CJ Rodden, and we're going to do some more two-wheel stuff coming up later this year and in 2022. Sunday fun day going on at Moriarty MX.
Yeah, this one was kind of, put together where, they're going to take the weekend off. They just finished their series after a rescheduled race in the first week of November. So what they kind of did, of course, being Thanksgiving come up, actually it's going to be the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So November 28th, it's going to be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be their Sunday fun day kind of prep practice that they have going on. And they already have their schedule for the upcoming 2022, the Lucky 13 race series coming out. So I have that picture I just put up as well. And it just seems like in March is kind of when they're going to get everything rolling, but they're still going to try to put together, depending on the weather, of course, these Sunday fun days or these kind of mm-hmm. like prep practice. And you're just going to see a lot of good races still on two wheels.
Well, let's prep people for a couple of car shows. We don't have anything going until December, unless you're out there and you got some stuff going on. I mean, definitely hit us up on Facebook and let us know. Got some toy drives that are going to start in December.
Yeah, so there are some great events that are in El Paso and, the surrounding areas that mm-hmm. are going on in November. But what we have, a few great ones in December. So December 4th, the first weekend, the Salvation Army Toy Drive is going to be out actually in Las Cruces. It's going to be at the old Kmart to the Rudy. So it's going to be actually a good amount of area where they're going to have a little bit of, kind of like a show and shine as well, I believe, with the part of the toy drive. So it's going to be a great event that's coming up December 4th, while December 12th, the next weekend, is going to be the Wheels for Hope Cancer Benefit Car Show. That's actually going to be at the Malloy Dodge from 10 to 2. and pretty much they're going to have all cars are welcome in several different categories. They're going to have to kind of change that as you come in while you do the initial sign up. And they're going to have a bunch of events for kiddos, raffle prizes, food trucks, wings, hot chocolate, all the good stuff where you could just come out, celebrate cars, a great cause, and everything right before the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so on the other side, so buckle in. World record was set yesterday. We're going to catch up with the driver that set that world record on the other side. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio.
101.7, The Team.
Hey, Albuquerque, this is Brian Erlacher. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Sloan on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
Pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Deerwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here's David.
ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team with David Swope, the fastest radio host in the West.
Red lighted.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's my cue, but anyway, hey, we had a world record broken yesterday, and that's right, we're gonna talk speedboat racing, and on the line, we've got Scott Welch. How you doing, man? Oh, sorry, Marty. Hey, Marty, you're on the line. How you doing, man? I don't got any audio.
Racing out here this morning. And it's pretty loud, so I'm trying to find me a quiet place to talk to you guys today.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, first off, what does it feel like to go 208 miles an hour in 4.25 seconds in 1,000 feet in a speedboat?
Oh, man, it was cool. It was cool. It was a really nice run yesterday on the first run. Yeah, we had the boat set up pretty nice, and, man, it took off, and it really felt, you know, from the seat of the pants, it really felt like a nice run. It just didn't last very long.
And I guess that's kind of the point, isn't it? See how fast. How long have you been in drag boat racing?
How long have I been in? Oh, man, a long time. I've been racing since the early 80s. I'm one of what they call one of the season drivers out here.
Well, that's a nice way to put it. talk a little, I mean, Wild Horse Pass. Great place, you know, been there, you know, quite often. How do you deal with, you know, the difference in weather and wake and anything there? Well, I think we got Scott on. Scott, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Sorry, they had a little troubles dropping me,
yeah,
trying to get me in.
No worries. We had Marty on. We lost Marty, so we'll bring Marty back. But great to have you on, man. I was going to ask a little bit about Wild Horse Pass.
Sure.
And the weather. I mean, do you get a lot of wind across there, and does that affect the runs much?
You know what, man? This lake doesn't get a lot of wind on it,
cool,
my friend. It stays. They've kind of built it down in a little bit, and it doesn't get much. I've never seen this. Is there any white caps on this lake in my life?
Oh, wow.
It's always smooth, man. Marty yesterday, you know, he's doing the top alcohol hydro now.
Right.
He was the pro mod. You're talking to Mr. Boat Racing here.
Yeah.
Marty Logan is pretty much the face of Lucas Oil Drag Boat Racing. Now you got SDBA has come out of Texas, which my father's one of the guys that were in on the first meeting for SDBA, Southern Drag Boat Association.
Right.
And now they're running, out here in Phoenix, and Marty is Mr. Boat Racing, man. Top alcohol hydro ran 208, set the speed record yesterday in this top alcohol hydro.
Well, I mean, 8-time drag boat racing pro mod world champion. I mean, eight-time, yes, sir. That's
you know what else
impressive
about this guy? He raced for Chris Kyle, the all-American hero, the movies about the American Sniper.
Uh-huh.
Marty, after that happened, after he lost his life, tragically killed, Marty raised that next season, donated everything he brought in, and over $100,000 wrote that Chris Call's widow a check for her to survive after losing her husband.
Wow. Well, what kind of field is there? I mean, how many boats do we have out there?
Oh, I think Marty told me yesterday we're getting close to 200 boats out here.
What?
Yeah, and I mean...
Where do you park all these boats? I mean, it's not like that leaks that big.
Well, it's back on the side where Guthrie and them drift back there. One of the first drifting events I went with Jim on was in the pit area for the drag boats. You know, most people don't know it. The lake was the first thing here, Dave.
Right.
It started the whole park out here. And my dad made the first official time pass on the lake in 1975.
Wow. Wow. How many different classes do they run?
They run everything from personal motorcrafts. I mean, even if you have a little hopped up, there's a lot of people from New Mexico here. If you have a hopped up jet ski, you can come out here and make passes just like the race boats, the big boats do. There's probably 10, 15 different classes. Most of the classes, though, are high-end guys with a lot of money that are putting money into these 1,500, 2,000 horsepower, all-American, blown, big block V8s running methanol alcohol. And they're making, you know, 5-6 second passes. The ET's crazy. The speed is not quite there until you go to Top Fuel.
Right.
But I mean, Marty turned a 425 and 1,000 feet yesterday, David. 4.25.
That's insane. I mean, that's like a blink of the eye. And of course, so talk a little bit about how does somebody go about getting into a speedboat racing?
Well, I mean, you know, get a hold of SDBA, Southern Drag Boat Association. You can go on their website, look them up, Google it, and you can look into getting, you know, there's lots of old drag boats out there. You know, you can run, you know, they bracket race. So, it's fair racing for everybody. And,
wow.
You go to SDBA and check it out, man. SDBA is going to start it back up or kind of take off where Lucas let off and build drag boat racing kind of back up after this whole COVID thing.
Yeah. How many different, like, we always call them tracks, but how many different venues are there that they run at?
They run them in Arizona, in Parker. They run them at Havasu. They run them in Missouri. Forrest Lucas built the racetrack, the lake out there, up in Missouri. And there's several venues on the East Coast. They kind of do their own thing out there. And I know there's drag boat racing out there because I've met a few people that are here talking about, man, nobody knows about this here, and kind of vice versa. There's the East Coast drag boat click and,
right,
and then the West Coast deal.
And that's just what I was going to say. It sounds to me like it's very regional. Did they ever have a Super Bowl of drag racing where it's like East versus West or anything?
Well, we would love to put something like that together. We are at what would be considered, you know, the World Finals. I've been talking to you from the World Finals for years, and we've got Brian Sanders on many times.
Right.
Brian's a two-time Top Fuel World Champion. And lost my train of thought, buddy.
Yeah, no worries. We're talking about Super Bowl of drag boat racing.
Yeah, so the World Finals is where I'm at basically now. It was Lucas, and Lucas got out of it because they've got so many other things going on, I presume. And the SDB out of Texas has now picked it up and keeping the Western drag boat racing scene alive. And you got guys like Marty heading the deal up. We got Micro Nuts out here, Mike Robbins. Top Fuel Hydro is going to make some passes this weekend. We might see some 250-mile-an-hour action.
Wow. So how would people like follow the speedboat racing community or you know, specifically Marty? I mean, does he have a Facebook page, website?
I do believe he has MartyLogan.com. I'll clear that up next time I'm on.
Okay.
But You can. All you got to do is research Marty on YouTube, and so much stuff will come up. I mean, they have a whole. But I sent you his video.
Yep.
The Lucas, you know, Maverick Math TV. I mean, he's like I say, Marty, the face of drag boat racing. Really, he's the guy. If you watch the old ones, you can pull anything up on YouTube. The old Lucas Oil Drag Boat Racing series on Math TV. You can pull it all up and watch. You know, as much as you want. At this lake, I'm on the island in the center of what we still call Firebird Lake, but it's Wild Horse Pass
right.
Racing Park. You can also go to wildhorsepass.com.
Okay.
I happen to be standing on the island right now waiting for the boats to get set up and, and staged, and I'm looking at the sign that's about as, almost as tall as me and about the same width, too, I think. Racewildhorse.com.
All right. Well, hey,
check it out, man.
Yeah, we definitely will. Hey, we'll effort getting Marty back on in a future show. Definitely wish you guys the best of luck today, and look forward to talking to you soon, man.
Yeah, man, we might get him on a weekend that's not a race, and it might be a little easier on him.
Yeah, that would be that would definitely make sense. But
let's do that, man. He's up for it. He's a cool cat, and he's got a lot to say. Great voice and everything. So we'd love to do that.
All right, man. So we'll catch up with you soon. That was Scott Welch, motorsports photojournalist, was out at Wild Horse Pass, and of course was there for the world record. I mean, Spencer, you've been around a lot of racing. We've been at the drag racing. Here in town, saw the rods, some fast passes, but I can't imagine 208 miles an hour on water, because like something happens, it's like hitting concrete.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's not even the you know, the number there. It's the 4.25 going from virtually a dead stop to. And going to 208 miles per hour in 4.25 seconds in 1,000 feet.
Yeah. No.
So the G force is ridiculous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Spence, you were talking about drag racing.
Yeah, that was just. It's so interesting to me. Not only that they are able to go that fast on the water, but the staging process, the shutdown process too. There's so much more to it. I mean, you have a lot of the same aspects in the drag boat racing that you do have on the drag strip too. But if you haven't checked it out, definitely recommend it. One of the coolest things I've ever seen, by far.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. Now think about it. It's like the Christmas tree is now moving. Right.
Right.
You know, I mean. Because you're trying to time that perfectly. I mean,
holding
that could
the
cost
line.
You.
I mean, you got it. There's so many little processes that are added when you're doing the drag boat racing.
Yeah.
That it really has become a niche market. And I remember seeing so many of them on MAV TV and a couple of races live too over at Firebird, which is now Wild Horse Race Pass.
Yeah.
So cool. And that venue too. I mean, they just had the Nitro Rallycross over there.
Right.
Now this weekend they're having drag boats. They have the trophy trucks over there. A little bit of everything. So great venue over there. Definitely recommend checking that out. We appreciate Scott Welch and Marty Logan for checking in today.
Absolutely. All right, we got a whole lot more coming up on the other side, including we're going to talk some next gen testing. A lot of neat things that happened out at the track in Charlotte. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio
101.7 The Team.
Hey, race fans, this is NASCAR team owner Coach Joe Gibbs. You're listening to David Swope on New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
This is Al Unser, four-time winner of the Indy 500. You've been listening to David Swope of the New Mexico Motorsport Report on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here is David.
All right. Welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And a lot of cool things going on, of course. Getting my first shot to go down to Votto next weekend. But wanted to talk a little bit about your debut, Spencer, with USAC and going over and running in Arizona. What was that all like?
It was so cool. So Arizona Speedway last weekend had the Western World Classic, and it was some of the most fun racing, most intense racing I've ever been a part of. I was telling everybody this week, I believe I learned more in one weekend of racing out there with the USAC National Tour than I learned all year here racing locally. So it's just totally different feel. I mean, you're racing against the best of the best. Qualifying, first time I've done qualifying in a sprint car. That was really important. That set the tone for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. Of course, naturally, I've always struggled in qualifying, even when I did my asphalt racing, or even when I would do it every once in a while in the micro sprint in California. So that was probably the biggest hurdle for me. Mm-hmm. But once you get through qualifying, then that leads to heat race action and C's, B's, and A main. So much fun last weekend. And we crowned a four-time champion, Brady Bacon, your USAC national champion.
Wow. I mean, a lot going on. Of course, you had a couple of local guys. Caleb Stelzik on Friday made it into the A-Main, a good representation. But you also had Colt Trahorn was out there as well. But like you said, a lot of big shoes, a lot of, you know, qualifying your way in. And, I mean, it really kind of, I think, is why I always talk about it is important to travel. It is important to try other series because there's different ways that they do things that I think that actually – make you a better driver because, you know, like you said, the opportunity to visit with the shock pro out there and learned about, you know, settings on your shock that could make a huge difference in 2022.
Yeah, without a doubt. Huge shout out to Caleb Stelzik, who came away with a heat race win in his USAC debut. Very impressive. Of course, we've seen how well he does in the heat races here at home. Mm-hmm. He was able to take the speed and do really well out there, too. Cool to see New Mexico well represented out there with the USAC National Tour. And yes, like you just said there as well, able to talk to Jake Swanson, who just picked up his first USAC National victory at Paris Auto Raceway just a few weeks ago. Huge help. It was so much fun to go down there and just learn how much more intense the National Tour is. it is definitely anything but easy, but a great time down there. Very thankful for the opportunity that SEH Motorsports and Grammy's Kitchen has allowed for me, as well as Clark's Pet Emporium, Global Motorsports Report, Z-Max Race Products, and Razor's Edge Gear. Could not do it without those fine folks. And, of course, my family, too. Yeah. My dad, he just got a big new RV. he was so excited to take it down.
Charlie rocking the RV.
He's just like, I don't know. If this is his midlife crisis, I feel like it's coming a little late. But he's loving that RV. I've never seen him so happy in my life. It's really cool for him to and my mom to get that thing. And now they're totally in comfort. They're going to go to every single race. They're excited, and they're going to bring my grandma to some now, too. So
awesome.
That'll be really cool. But, yeah, great weekend. It's so much fun going racing out of town. Here we were Saturday night sitting around a campfire, and one of the legends in Arizona, RJ Johnson, comes over, have a couple beers with us, and just kick back, relax, talk auto racing. And it's just such a great time out there.
Well, is grandma coming down to Votto next weekend?
I think she might be.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we'll have to party with her. Jack Daniels and popcorn on deck. If anybody knows Grandma Nelly, she...
She's definitely a
party animal. I guess that's where I got it from. But it's a great weekend down there at Western World. Of course, a big, scary incident with Dazen Pursley that I just want to say thoughts and prayers go out to his family, as well as we lost one of our own here back at home.
Yeah, Randy Combs passed away. Succumbed to an accident. It had spent some time in the hospital. Shout out to the family. I've known Randy. Randy was very instrumental at times at helping us build some of the divisions out there. A lot of people don't know that, but definitely was helping build cars and get bodies out. Sandy on the asphalt when we were running the factory floors, as well as his involvement, his family's involvement. So definitely prayers to the family. Going down to Votto, you know, for the Turkey Bowl next weekend, looking forward to seeing that. And you mentioned Legends coming out as well, Legend Cars coming out. Ought to be quite a field.
Oh, it is. I literally just got a Snapchat from Caleb Seiss, who's listening to the show. Thank you, by the way, Caleb. Appreciate
Thanks,
the
Caleb.
Love.
Shout out to the champ.
Yeah, champion. 2021 champion who's going to get recognized tonight at the Lucas Oil Power Eye NMMRA banquet. Very excited for Halburns Racing and Caleb Seiss. Well-deserving champions this year in the Twister tribute car. Such a cool story. Happy for them to be able to tie all that back together and get that famous Hank Arnold number 1HA back in victory lane and with another championship. Here we are almost 55 years later. So,
wow.
So many cool stories that we were able to follow this season, and it all kind of wraps up this weekend at the Votto Speedway Park for the Turkey Bowl. So many good drivers going. We're going to get a couple from out of town. We're going to get all the hot shoes from here locally. And we're going to get a lot of the 305 drivers that have been racing there all season. They know how the track's going. They're probably going to take those wings off and come join the non-wing as well. So I would not be too surprised if we saw a couple people do some double duty.
Wow, that ought to be quite a show. I mean, double ticket. You got a Friday night, Saturday night show. Easy drive. I mean, down there, and of course, to be able to check out this world class facility.
And they have Raising Cane's on the way too. So I mean, that's a good reason to go down.
So I don't know why you don't have a sponsorship from them yet. Because you keep telling me about Raising Cane's. So I guess we got to stop and check it out.
Raising Cane's or Crown Royal. One of them's gonna have to just come on board soon, or Coors Banquet. One of them.
I've been looking for a beer sponsor, for a long time, but it's really neat to see it. And of course, we were talking to Matt Crafton, right? When we were out in Phoenix, and I mean, he's even talking about running out of Votto, and you guys had a little bit of exchange about that. I mean, talk a little bit about talking to Matt Crafton about Votto Speedway.
Yeah, 2020 Camping World Truck Series champion Matt Crafton and I had a quick sit down after our media day just a few weeks ago out in Phoenix, Arizona, and we were able to talk about the Votto Speedway Park. And he is going to be running, and this is breaking news, I believe, so I'm not sure how much clearance we have to break this, but he is going to be running in a modified here in the early part of next year for Royal Jones.
Yeah.
Very excited to see him behind the wheel and come back down to the Votto Speedway Park. So very cool to get caught up with him, for him to just know what Votto Speedway Park is, and he understands how much that means to our community, too.
Right.
Let me stress that. The Camping World Truck Series champion says that Votto Speedway Park is one of the nicest dirt tracks that he's ever been to, and he's been to a lot of nice tracks. So for him to give the kudos down to Royal and Chris Steppen and all the crew down there, it just speaks volumes to what they're doing for the racing community.
Well, we got a couple of inside things we can't talk about, when we were in Phoenix. So we're going to have to figure out how to break some of this news, but it was really great to get out there. And of course, we got a couple of minutes left. I actually wanted to go back and talk a little bit about Arizona Speedway, and that was actually the final race there. I mean, it's really a shame that that tracks can't make it. But was there any special part of the festivities that just was kind of honoring Arizona Speedway?
Yeah, so they did some special ceremonies before the final day of racing, and other than that, they just wanted to go out with some good, hard racing. And to have the USAC Midgets and the National Sprint Car Series there, that's the best way that I could possibly think of to just finalize that. And truthfully, they do have one more race before they finally shut the doors down, and that's the Copper World Classic. A lot of people might recognize that name. Been in Arizona for years and years. Yeah. So that is the official send-off, and that's also happening the same weekend that we have the Turkey Bowl in Votto. So, cool race, very beautiful racetrack, love the area. I've heard some rumblings out there. I talked to a lot of people trying to figure out what's next for that community, because we're losing racetracks left and right. It is so sad. And Arizona, that's kind of the glue that keeps dirt track racing together right here in the Southwest, because other than Arizona, we really don't have a lot of dirt track racing. Mm-hmm. So to see a big racetrack like Arizona Speedway go, very disappointing, very sad for the community, but I did hear rumblings that there might be a 20-year lease coming up on a different area of land. So you heard it here first, right here on ESPN Radio, that we might have another racetrack coming up in Arizona. So fingers crossed that comes through. Looks like the same management would be heading up that operation.
Okay.
So I'll keep a pulse on that and let everybody know as soon as I get more information.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, definitely keep us posted on that. All right, on the other side, we're going to talk some next-gen testing. A lot of things came out of the testing this week. Good, bad. We're going to cover it all. We got some audio we're going to play as well from the press conferences. So stay tuned. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio.
101.7, The Team.
Hey, Albuquerque, this is Daniel Hemrick, driver of the number 18 Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. You're listening to New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope on ESPN Radio 1017 The Team.
Hey, Albuquerque, this is Danny Hamlin, driver number 11 FedEx Express Toyota with Joe Gibbs Racing. You are listening to New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. In the off-season, a lot of times we talk about silly season. This is a little bit different. Now we're talking about a whole new car. And so we had some testing this week. So I'd like to start off. We have some audio. Of course, I always say that, you know, you don't really know until you really get them wheel to wheel and somebody crashes a car. So Austin Dillon did crash one of the cars during the testing. This is the crew chief talking a little bit about what they did afterwards.
You know, we don't like carry a backup car here with us to the test, and we typically don't to most tests we go to, but we were able to go back to the shop. And really, the way this car is designed with removable front and rear clips, body panels that bolt on and off, we were able to take the front clip off, pull the motor out. The motor was damaged, the front clip, obviously, but everything else really was intact. The rear bumper had a little bit of damage and the rear tail, so we had to replace the rear tail, the rear bumper, the left rear quarter panel, and everything in the front, the hood, the fenders, the nose, and then the front clip and engine. And we had all of our guys back at the shop. We worked on it, thrashed on it for a few hours. I think we were back here, and I don't know, maybe 8 hours later from the time we crashed. So we did what this car was designed to do, and that was to replace, you know, just parts of the car that are damaged.
So I would have to say success. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, these cars used to be a total car, right? And so you'd have to bring a whole nother car. Now you just bring, you know, a truckload of parts. You put a car back together. I mean, kind of try and put in some layman's terms, Spencer. I mean, what the significance of that is to racing?
You know, I think that Tommy Ellis put it in a really easy way for people to understand. We talked to Tommy last week in the front end mechanic on the Wood Brothers number 21. He says, you know, with this next gen car, essentially it's a car in a box, right?
Yep.
Everybody's building a car out of the same box. He says a good way to think about it is go to Lowe's and you buy a grill, right? I get a grill, you get a grill, you know. The Joe Gibbs Racing grill is the same grill that, you know, MBM Motorsports
He's
is
got
getting.
Better steaks, though.
But, yes, Joe Gibbs Racing, they've been putting grills together for a very long time, very efficiently.
Right.
And so, although it's a learning process for everybody, I believe cream's still going to rise to the top. But
yeah.
in just the most simplest fashion, for them to be able to wreck a car, head on into the wall, hard hit, by the way.
Yeah.
Take the front end. You just replace the front clip, which is all bolt-on materials, if you haven't been following that, by the way. You put a new motor in, and they were able to go within 5 hours, 5 or 6 hours, replace that and bring it back to the track and complete testing that same afternoon. Incredible. Kudos to the RCR team for doing that and for kind of being just a meter for everybody to kind of understand, like, this is possible.
Right.
And we're learning as we go, but I think overall this change is going to be good.
It is absolutely amazing when you consider that. As a matter of fact, we have some audio here from Chase Elliott. Talk a little bit about the car.
The corners don't feel a ton slower to me. The straightaways do. I definitely feel like you're going a little slower down the straightaway. But like once you kind of land in the corner itself, I don't know that it feels a ton different. Maybe a little bit. You know, certainly I feel like the biggest difference just like from a momentum standpoint that I felt today was just the tire fall off. Like I could, you know, really hear and feel how much I slowed down from the beginning of a 20-lap run to the end. That was probably the biggest thing that stood out to me. But that's going to change track to track. I mean, this surface here is pretty abrasive and it's pretty old. So, you know, having some tire fall off, I suppose, is expected at a place like this. But outside of that, I don't feel a ton different. I mean, I know that's the case, but I don't feel a ton different than what we had at our mile and a half stuff last year.
So goal number two accomplished because they want more driver input, right? And the driver input, you know, comes from being able to challenge, you know, be challenged by the changes that are happening to you while you're behind the wheel. And one of those is, you know, tire fall off is who's going to push it, who's going to benefit from that. So I would have to say, I mean, two of the major goals were accomplished right off the bat, even though we did joke about how nobody was saying, I don't really feel any different, I don't know, you know, other than 4 seconds a lap is pretty significant in the car going slower. What was some of maybe your observations on it, Spence?
You know, tire fall off, that's a huge gain for the sport. We needed that for a lot of years. I love to hear that not only do we have fall off again, but it's significant. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is a big part of traditional oval track racing, especially in NASCAR. So that'll be good. That's going to be good. That's going to put a lot of the ability back into the driver's hands. One thing that I wish that they would have hit on with this next-gen car, though, is just overall speed. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's weird to see only 170-mile-an-hour average at a place like Charlotte. To me, I feel like the top national sport with NASCAR Cup Series should be the fastest car, the most difficult to drive. And right now, I feel like the Xfinity car is way, way more difficult.
It will be, because, I mean, they're not changing that car right now. So that's going to be a little bit odd to see. But because of the testing and other things, the other things that we got to see was was Pitt, you know, I mean, with that single lug, the placement of the number on the door, and seemed to be more conversation really about that until, of course, you know, with the crash and having some data. I mean, I know you're not necessarily a big fan of the change of the lugs, but you were most disgusted with the pit. You know, I mean, watching the pits, I mean, give your observation of it, you know, a longtime NASCAR fan and not see those lugs flying off and hitting people.
Yeah, it's just different. It really is. I mean, it's to me a big part of the beauty of a pit stop is, you know, hearing those five lugs. And for me, it just takes a lot more skill to hit the five versus just the single lug nut right in the center. I don't think that pit stops are going to become boring like a lot of race fans are thinking. It's still going to be an important part of the race. It's still going to decide a lot of the winners of these events. But to me, yeah, we have lost a little bit of the nostalgia of what is the traditional pit stop that the Wood Brothers originally created.
Right.
So as sad as it is to see that go, you know, things change. We have to evolve. We have to change or otherwise it just gets so stale. So, you know, does it getting to a point where maybe NASCAR's changing too much? Maybe. But to me, you at least have to change a little bit to keep things fresh. And I think if NASCAR's done anything right, they've kept it exciting in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And another thing, I know we only have a couple minutes here, but NASCAR just announced the practice and qualifying
procedures
for next season. Just a quick rundown on that. 15-minute practice for the ovals, 20 minutes on the road courses. The tracks that will have 50 minutes, a full, basically, happy hour of practice will be the Daytona 500, the March race at Atlanta, Gateway, Nashville, and the Phoenix finale. 100 minutes of practice for the Bristol Dirt event, and no practice for any of the Talladega or the August Daytona event. Qualifying is going to be split into two groups, single car on the ovals, group on the road courses. Top five in each group is going to go to a second round and knockout-style qualifying to determine the first five rows.
Well, so we're starting to attempt to return to some sort of normalcy And I think that this period of time with COVID has allowed us to evaluate certain things and learn from them. And I think they're going to have some real benefits. Of course, you and I talked about, and this kind of started before, but the whole bullpen being able to do interviews like that. I mean, that's fantastic. But to be able to be back and be close to everybody and, you know, without masks and different things. I mean, we're getting there. But, hey, appreciate that you coming in and helping us kind of run down that. Wish you luck next weekend out at the Turkey Bowl and everybody that's out there. Just join us next week. Have a good Thanksgiving between now and then, and we'll see you on the other side. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio.
101.7 The Team.